Okay, so we're handling a case last week of the chosen, the poor chosen. The chosen was promised a big nadan, lots of money from his future father-in-law, to go towards buying a property. So based on that, he went and signed a zichron devorim, not a contract, a pre-contract, which basically said that we have intention to buy this property for this amount of money with these payment plans, and we're serious to give you enough. We're going to give you down payments already of 10,000 shekels. In the event that either of us back out, me the buyer or you the seller, then we will have a penalty to pay of 100,000 shekels. So what happened over here? After signing this, the market crashed, the father-in-law lost all his money, there's now no money for the chosen to buy the apartment, he is forced now to pull out of the deal. Comes along the seller and says, okay, break the contract, but here's a penalty. You owe me another 90,000. I've got 10,000 of yours already. You owe me another 90,000 because 100,000 for pulling out of the contract. So what did we see last week? We saw, what is this zikrun d'oran? Is this a piece of paper or is it more serious than that? So we established both in halacha and according to secular law that zikrun d'oran is something which you can enforce in the courts and enforce according to halacha to force the sale. It's not just a piece of paper, it's something very serious. And it can be just one of 7-8 lines, and you have a very serious situation where you have now a binding contract. Now, we've learned up to now that penalties that one places on oneself in events one doesn't commit to fulfilling one's requirements which one stated, those are problems of what we call halakhically asmachus, which means that you can't enforce them and unlock them on their face value because he wasn't serious, because he would never have thought that he would come to that situation where he would be having to fulfill those penalties. So halakhically we saw penalties is a problem in halakha to enforce. Now, do we have the same problem here? That's what we said with contracts. Regular contracts, you have a penalty, can't enforce it halakhically, unless you have in a special written way halakhically, otherwise it can't enforce it, you won't get the penalty. Over here, is zichron devarim any different from contracts that we would say, no, zichron devarim, there we would be able to enforce the penalty on it?
I was thinking, maybe, I think someone mentioned it last week also, the idea of an escape clause. Meaning, really, you could enforce the entire purchase. You have a right to do that. You're giving him a schus to have a way out for a lesser charge of 100,000. It's not that you're penalizing 100, it's you're giving him an escape of, instead of 400, it's only 100.
That's a very good reason. Now, and therefore, how does that change the problem of it being a penalty and he doesn't mean it? You said the right answer. Now, why does that change the halakh? Why does that change now? Oh, now we can enforce it because now we know he meant it. What does that mean? You still don't mean it. Okay, it's one's
This time you meant to pay 400,000. He really meant to pay $400,000 to buy the house. To buy the house is $400,000. He meant to do that. Now he's saying, guess what? I've got an option for you. Instead of paying the $400,000, which you meant to pay and you agreed to pay, if you want, you can get away for only $100,000. If you want, you don't have to. You can still pay the $400,000 if you want to.
Okay, so I'll tell you, you know what? I'm getting away. I'm still not paying the $100,000, so I never meant to pay the $100,000.
Then he can enforce the $400,000. Right, you can bring him to court and send based and say you've got to pay me $400,000.
I'm allowed to back out. Yes?
No, we said you're not allowed.
I'm allowed to back out if I pay the penalty. I'm paying the penalty.
You only back out with my rishus. And by 100,000 rishus.
So why does that mean that there's no problem of here penalties? Why, if I need your rishus, does it mean now there's no problem of penalty?
It's not a penalty.
Ah! What is it?
It's a schus.
No.
It's a buyout.
It's a buyout. The Chazanish says like this. Chazanish, if you want to read it inside, you can read it inside. But the Chazanish says like this. I will say it outside. He says, if it's a back out clause, then basically what happens? I have bought the property, or bought the zuchus, to buy this property. It's mine. The back out clause says, if you want to resell it to me, and give back that zuchus, then the price is this, then it's yours. But if you want to back out, that means, doesn't mean back that penalty, it means if you want to sell it back to me, then it's a new price. If the buy backs out, then instead of being 2 million to which the you bought the property for, it's now 2.1 million. He sells it back. Yeah. So therefore, he gets 100,000, because that's, if you want to sell it back to me, then you have to pay 100,000. So you sell it back to me. Or 900,000, 100,000 less, sorry, I made that. 1.9 million, yeah? Right. If you want to sell it back to me, it's going to be 1.9 million. I can only have to give you 1.9 million to get it back, says the seller. And if the seller backs out, then the idea is that he has to pay the extra 100,000. Yeah,
because sell him.
Yeah, either the seller or the buyer backs out, then it's a reselling of the zuchus or breaking up the zuchus. So therefore, it's not a penalty. It's not a penalty. It's yours, and now you're selling to me, a new price. If you're not selling to me, then you have to keep it. You have to keep it, I can enforce you in court to pay me the value of what you agreed. You bought it already, you owe me already 2 million. It's not a penalty, is it? That is the chazanish. And therefore, Knasses, which are written in Zichron Devarim, that says you can back out if you pay this amount of money, they are halachically enforceable. But any penalties which are written in contracts, which says, the contract normally says, you cannot back out. And if you don't pay up in time, then you're going to have to fulfill your commitment to the contract and pay a penalty on top. That's not a back out clause or resell clause. That is pure, utterly a penalty.
Why is that
a penalty? You don't halachically have to commit unless you write it for me.
Why is it not called a buyout if it's called a contract?
Not buyout, because you can't buy out. The contract is saying there's no way of backing out the deal. And if you don't pay up in time, then you're going to have to fulfill your part of the deal in any case, even though you didn't pay up in time, and still pay a penalty. There's no
So if there was a contract for the same exact house, for the same story that we just gave under it, there was a contract to buy the house for whatever it was, $2 million, and in the contract was a buyout, escape clause, whatever you want to call it, that you, for $100,000, that would not be acceptable.
It would. Whenever the buyout, you can back out of the deal, then it's not a penalty. But if you have to keep the deal and still get a penalty, then that's called a penalty.
You have to keep
and
the deal.
At most contracts, what a real contract is, there's no option of I can back out of the deal. They are written in the
You still do the deal,
you
and
have
you pay
to do it, and you still have to pay it.
So a daily charge is a penalty.
A daily charge is a penalty, yes. Daily charge is a penalty. Maybe also a problem with Ribbis as well, by daily charge.
Yeah? Yeah. But he paid it.
A Ribbis problem and a penalty problem.
No, he took it off the contract.
Now, so let's now move to another case. Case now is, if you remember a few weeks ago, we mentioned this case, but we never actually tackled it, so now we're going to tackle it. What's the case? Thanks. It was Reuven is in a building. He was part of a big building. And he wanted the whole building are applying for extra meters to apartments in order that they can build. Every apartment is now going to get 20 meters according to the plans which they wanted to put. Reuven didn't like this plan. Why? Why didn't he like it? He was very against it and he was going to fight it. Why? because he didn't want 20 meters, he wanted 40 meters. He wanted the plan to be 40 meters, and he was going to stop the plan of 20 meters for every apartment until they agree we're going to put forward the plan for 40 meters for each apartment.
So we addressed this case.
We mentioned it, but we never discussed it.
Really?
Yes.
Maybe we discussed it. He never discussed it.
Now you can tell me what you discussed. So, what happens? Reuben says, I'm going to fight this and you'll never get it through because of me. So, Shimon, one of the neighbors, came over to Reuben and he said, look, you want 40 meters? You're stopping the whole building. It's not nice. It's not nice. 20 meters. Everyone's happy 20 meters. We don't think 40 meters will work so well. But, you're stopping the whole building. You know what? They're going to get me, everyone's going to get 20 meters. I'm also going to get 20 meters, Shimon says. You don't get involved, don't cause problems, and I'll give you my extra 20 meters. At the end of the day, you have 40 meters. I'll give it. I won't sell it to you, even.
Give it to you?
Give it to you, free. I don't need it. I do not need it. I'm an old couple. I need another to build. I haven't got the money to build. Why do I need it? You're stopping the whole building. You know what? I don't like that. What's going on in the building? You don't get involved. Don't ruin the whole project. And I'll give you my 20 meters, and then you'll have 40 meters. You know what? I even write a piece of paper that you can have my 20 meters, which I get. And he did that. So Reuben's very happy. He didn't get involved. The project went through, and everyone got their 20 meters. Comes Reuben to Shimon and says, "Look. Now you can give me the extra 20 meters. So Shimon says, you think I'm serious? But you've got no money, you're old, you don't need it. I've got no money, I'm old, but it adds money to my property.
It's an asset.
I'm going to give something like that away. But you signed. Yeah, I wasn't serious. You think I'm serious?
He signed a paper.
So that comes to business. Now what does everyone think in that? Is there an issue of penalties over here that it doesn't, it's not valid, or it is valid for some reason over here?
Where's the penalty?
Penalty, it's not penalty.
What?
Is that anything to do with what we've been learning? So what is it? What exactly, how you define what went on over here?
We have the questions of duress we've dealt with, right? The question is Shimon under duress in this case?
Under duress.
But you can say, it's very simple, you can say that I for sure didn't want to give it to you. You know I didn't want to give it to you because I wouldn't have supported it. I only wanted you to stop doing what you did, harassing us and stopping the whole project. And it's obvious that I didn't want to give it to you because I didn't say that I'm helping the others or I'm doing it as chesed for the others.
I did say that. That's why I did say that.
So you lied to him as well.
Yeah. Okay.
I got no consideration for it. They gave me nothing for it, so why should I give it to you?
Consideration? I've got peace of mind. Nice building. No bad locus. That's consideration. Very good consideration.
Right, it's basically a penalty in that sense. Since there's no consideration, that makes it like a penalty. Since he's not getting it for it, so it's making him pay would be like a penalty.
I thought that the project went through, and there's no locus.
That helps everyone equally.
Yeah. No. Oh, what happens if I said, you know, I'm getting 30 meters and I'll give you 20 of my, I'm still getting 10, so I do get in consideration of that.
You're not
getting
anything from him.
No, but he couldn't stop me.
Well, that's the other thing. I mean, he basically bought a right. He bought a right. He really should have to pay. But this person has a right to say no. And he has a right to stop. Whatever it is he wants to, he has that right. Right?
Okay.
He lives in a building. He has a right to everyone else.
Okay.
And I have a right to make a fuss. You bought my right. With your 20 meters. So
can you buy something which has no mamoshes?
It's a no-la.
Don't stop it physical.
Same problem as future stream. It's a no-la. Nothing there. What you're saying.
Futures is different. You can't halakhically buy something which is not physical. Suppose? Okay, so let's tackle it like this. First of all, we have very important Gemara and Baba Metzia to learn. Let's look at number two. Omar Rav Chama. Rav Chama says, Ha man di habi zuzi la chaveru. Somebody gives money to his friends. Lemizvilei chamra, to buy him wine. I want you to buy wine for me. Uposha v'lozovenle. He was negligent and he didn't buy it. Mishale leim kada ozil afaset of zolshvat. Then he has to compensate for his not fulfilling his commitment. He has to compensate him with the profit, the cheap wine, which he could have got. He could have got a good deal. And you may, didn't do the job, you have to compensate him for that loss of money.
Did he pay this person to do this?
No.
He was his employee?
No, he asked him to do a job. Let's say he paid him. Okay, makes no difference. You, I am giving you some money to buy for me, and I'm even paying you to do the job. And you didn't do it. Then the worker who didn't do it has to compensate. Rav Ashi Omer says, Afilu Yain Stam Nami Lo. Rav Ashi says, no, you don't. My Tama, why don't you? Asmachta. It's a smachta. It's not silly. He doesn't have to compensate for that. He wasn't serious. Vasmachta lo konya. If it's a smachta, he doesn't have to fulfill his commitments.
What was he serious about? What was he not serious about?
He said, well, I hired you to do the job. And you said, yes, I'm going to do the job. And you understood, we understood, that if you didn't do the job, then you will compensate me for the loss of not doing that job. Says the Gemara, then that's called a smachta, promising to compensate for the loss for not doing the job. It's called that it was a smachta. You weren't really serious about that commitment. So the Gemara asks the question, Rav Ashi Maishko Mahaitasan, why is this case any different from we learnt in Ovid below Ovid? In the case where I hired a worker to plow my field, and he didn't plow the field, the halacha is he does have to pay, and it's not a problem of a smachta. What's the difference? If I tell you to buy wine, we say, if you don't buy wine, you don't have to compensate him. But if I tell you to plow the field, and you don't plow the field, you do have to compensate him. What's the difference? So the Gemara says, in the field, he could have done it. He could have plowed in the field. He could have easily avoided the problem. The worker. The worker could have easily avoided the problem by plowing the fields.
He couldn't easily buy the wine?
And therefore, since he could easily do the field, do the job, and he doesn't, then he has to pay. But in the case of the wine, who says he'll find the wine? Who says the seller will sell them the wine? It's not up to him. So therefore, since it's not up to him, that's for sure a problem of a smachta.
This will be different.
If you're promising to do a job which is not under your control, then you're not going to have to face the consequences if it doesn't happen, because obviously you can't say, you know, I'm going to give you £1 million if I don't do this job, and it's not really up to me. Obviously you're not serious, because why would anyone commit themselves to pay £1 million if it's not even in his control to do the job in the first place?
It's really different in our community where there's supermarkets selling wine all over the place.
Yeah, we were talking about
right.
Now this is the reason, if you remember last week, and I'm going to give you a similar case now, of why we had a case last week about the computer. So I'll give you another case, very similar. Ahmed, the Arab, came to Beis Din, and he took Aaron to Beis Din. What was the problem? Aaron had said to Ahmed, I want you to put these antennas on your roof. It's illegal because we're doing a pirate radio station. And you know what? Don't worry, I'll pay you. And if you ever get caught by the police, then I'll pay you all your knasses and all the penalties that you incur from the fact that you do this for me. So he got caught, he got put into prison, and the only way to get him out and everything was he had to spend 20,000 shekels. So Ahmed came to Beis Din with a taina against Aaron, you owe me 20,000 shekels because of your commitment. The answer to that halacha, as we saw last week, if you promise to pay for a penalty which is not even in your control, which we just saw, that's called a smachta, and you don't have to pay. Just like you don't have to pay for somebody who brings in your computer, and you're not going to pay for any penalties that you incur if it gets taken away, because that's also not under your control. It's totally a smachta, and you don't have to pay. That was the halacha that. Okay. Now, the question I have to you is, okay, so if it, in our case, is it in his control? Our case of giving over his 20 meters. Is that in his control or not in his control?
Yeah.
Yes, it's in his control. It's in his control. When he gets the 20 meters, just gives it over. Yes, once I get the 20 meters.
Oh, once?
Yes, yeah, in my control.
Yeah, but the stage before.
Okay. I say, if it doesn't work, then it doesn't work. Then you yourself are not. You're saying, if it works, the top net, then you'll give me 20 meters. Well, that's in your control, so that shouldn't be a problem with it. So, the Gemara says, as long as it's in your control, it's not a problem with smachta. So, in our case, it shouldn't be a problem with smachta as well. Because it's in your control to fulfill your commitment to him.
But it's a major loss.
Hmm?
It's a major loss, though. I mean, it's in his control to physically do it,
yes,
but it's not an easy thing for him to do in a financial and emotional sense.
So, the question I asked you, you're asking a question on the Gemara. Why, in the case of the wine or in the fields, we say that that's not a problem of us, Mark. The only problem is in your control and not in control. The fact that he's saying, you know what? That if I don't plow your fields, I'm going to penalize myself by compensating you. That should be a problem as well. Obviously, he doesn't mean it. Why should he commit himself to compensate somebody if he doesn't get anything out of it? Why should he mean what he's saying? It should be a problem as well in itself. Even if it's in your control, let's say it's in your control, but it's still a problem as well. He doesn't mean it. Like you just said, he doesn't mean to give something which he feels he doesn't get any consideration or anything in exchange. Yeah, why should we not say it's still a problem with smachta?
Maybe for small amounts, we're mocha. You assume the guy's mocha.
But it's not a small amount, it's a big amount.
The field is a
big amount. Yes, a big amount.
It could be small field.
So, have you got any ideas? Why, in the fact that I say, if I don't do the job, then I'm going to compensate you for that, not the fact that I didn't do that job. Why isn't that not itself a problem of I'm penalizing myself and the smachta?
How can you say, how can you fall back on I didn't mean it? Because it's my control. I mean, there's no place for me to say I did not mean that I wasn't going to do what I said. I mean, I'm agree. That's the whole agreement we have. The whole agreement we have that I'm going to do this. So then I'm saying I didn't mean that at all. I was going to do it.
So I tell you what happened at the time of the agreement. Did he mean to penalize himself?
He meant to
do the job. What happens? 2 weeks later, things cropped up. Illness, monetary problems over there. Things crop up. Now I'm backing out. And therefore, I should have to now fulfill what I promised. So at the time I promised, I never had in mind not to do the job. I never really meant to pay that penalty.
And your $1 million penalty. Has $1 million in the bank. You meant it?
I never meant it. At the time when I made that statement, I never meant it. Why am I not doing it now? There's scenarios why I'm not doing it now. So why isn't that self not a problem smachta? The Gemara says it's not a problem smachta. It just has to be in your control, but it should be a problem smachta. Okay. So, we'll look at number three. What? And you should know the answer. I'm very disappointed.
Yeah.
Because it's something to do with what we discussed in the last few weeks.
Oh.
Okay, so still got time to do teshuva. Number three. So the Ritva says like this on that Gemara. Ulokuna Prisha Kashani, Loma Chai the Shalomle. Why you have to pay him? You didn't do the job, why you have to pay him? All you caused him is indirect damage by not doing the job. Indirect damage, you can't force somebody to pay halachically. You indirectly caused him to lose profit. Potential profit, that's what you caused him to lose. You're giving back his money, what did he lose? He lost the potential profit of the deal. So that's caused, you're causing him a groma. Groma, you can't hire somebody to pay. Why is he hired to pay? So the Rosh answers, I'm Rosh Shomtim in Tamates, Marisha hit the notion, Lo Yik Nershim, so Yai Mishalom. He said, you know what? Because he spoke it out. He says, I'm going to do this job for you, and if I don't do this job, then I'll give you wine which belongs to me, which is the same profit you can get out of it as well.
Every smart you speak out.
So what have we benefited by this statement? So the answer to this,
I was thinking, standard practice, what is standard business practice? Meaning if it's a standard thing that everyone knows that this is normal to have a penalty, then that's not a smart thing.
No. That's a line to Rabbi Yashiv, and most poskim don't hold like that. Now, the answer is, and we mentioned this a few weeks ago, is that when I say that if I don't do a job which is in my control, I'm going to pay you back, not as a penalty, but pay you back compensation for the loss which I incurred you, that's not called a smart. What's called a smarter when you say I'm giving you a present? You don't deserve this, but I'm still giving you. You only lost $100. I'm giving you $100,000. And that's called a smarter. You never lost anything, I'm still giving it to you. Obviously I don't mean it. But if I caused you a loss, even if it's indirect, but I'm the cause of that loss, and Midin Shemayim, I'm hired really Midin Shemayim for that loss. Yes, you can't get it out of me, but I caused you loss, and I say, you know, if I cause you a loss, I'm going to compensate for you. We don't say he didn't mean it, then it was Shlei, we sure he meant it, because he doesn't want to be cause of anybody's loss. So whenever you're causing somebody a loss, then it's not a problem for a smarter to impose that penalty.
Ashman should get paid then. Ashman should get paid because he caused him a loss.
No. Why do you cause, that's not causing a loss.
We still talking about the fee.
We saw, discussed that last week. That's not called a loss.
His legal fees aren't called a loss.
What?
His legal fees aren't called a
no,
loss.
No. He knows what he's doing. He knows what situation he's getting himself in. I caused him. He knowingly went into that situation.
What's the loss then? Which case is the loss?
Mm-hmm.
Where's the loss? In the field that he didn't
buy? The field, I didn't plow, didn't get the produce. The wine he didn't buy, so he didn't get the profits of the wine. So, in our case, did he lose anything?
No.
Did he lose anything?
No. He lost something imaginable, that he could have potentially gotten 40 instead of 20.
So why is that not called losing?
He
what's it happened in the wine case? The wine. What did he lose in the wine, which we say is a loss? That you can impose. Potential profit. So what's this person losing?
Unrealistic profit. 1 against 20. It was unlikely he'd get the 40.
What's he losing? He got 20.
No, he could have got 40.
He could have got 40.
He could have got 40. I'm losing 40 now.
Not likely. Not likely.
I'm losing because of you. I'm losing the 40.
So we make it in the wine case? The wine, he has to pay the profit.
Oh, 40,
the
wine,
the wine for different reasons, because it wasn't in his control, but otherwise he would.
The field he does.
Right? He has to wear the whole thing when I go home. Yes. That clearly wasn't happening.
If I would hang out there for 5-10 years, and then it will happen. I'm determined to stop this project at all costs. And you want me to agree, then you have to agree to me.
You would have got nothing. You wouldn't have got 40.
Exactly. Everyone would have come round to my point of view of 40.
They might have a proof for it, right? No, it's so far-fetched.
Okay.
Why is there a loss in the field for of not plowing? I would think there'd be a loss in the field, for example, if you're supposed to go and pick the produce that's already grown.
He didn't even plant the field.
No, that's untrue.
So he lost all the profits. He lost all the profits of that year. He didn't,
but that's again, that's potential for
it. Yeah, and he lost it, so he has to pay.
But again, it may not
potential
have,
profit.
It may not have grown.
No,
it would have
come
out.
Natural.
That was more likely than the 40 meters in the building.
In the case of the wine,
yes.
I could have gone and bought all my stuff. I could have bought all my stuff. I said I had to go.
And the fields?
I could also could have planted myself.
Yes.
But I had to do it. So it was direct. It was just one step removed. You had to do it for me. The fact you didn't do it, you caused the loss. Because look, here I could have gone and gotten myself 40 meters. I could have done anything. I was powerless. I got nothing.
Okay. I hear what you're saying. Before we get there, let's go a step further. Now, maybe here there's damages, maybe there's not.
Okay.
So let's say you're right. No damages. There's another issue over here. The other issue is like this. Was there anything signed?
Yes, you did it. You said you wrote it.
contract that is machayev. Anything that was signed over here that obligated the parties.
You said he wrote. I
have I? Yes. Anything which stops me changing my mind.
I'll give you 20 meters.
I will give you 20 meters when I get it. Does that obligate me?
To give you 20 meters.
Halakhically or secularly, does it obligate me, that statement?
In my eyes, secularly. Look,
secularly. It was a star.
Is that called a star? Really? How do you buy and sell cut? How do you buy and sell non-movable objects?
A professional real estate lawyer approved document.
With a Rusha is not a sale.
A contract.
You have to make a contract. Yeah, Rusha is without any money, without anything.
Can you sell something which you don't yet own?
In secular, yes. Secular, good.
Can you sell something which you don't yet own?
No.
In secular, well, you can.
You can't sell something which you don't have.
Well, it's futures, you can do that.
So there's no contract of it, it's just words. Words are binding.
Words are binding in halacha.
Words are binding?
Nope, so I promise I will do something that's not binding.
Why is words binding? So let me ask you a question over here. Why, in the case of the Gemara, is it binding? There's no contract there, it's just words. I'll buy you wine. And if I don't buy the wine, then I'll compensate you. I didn't buy it, and now we say you have to compensate him.
And he lost the profit.
And it was money.
Yeah. Why?
And it was money was exchanged. Money exchanged hands.
Money exchanged.
That's your opinion.
He's not kidding. He's just giving me the money to pass on to me. It's anything to do with me.
He's a shliach.
The difference is, there's a thing in halacha that sometimes words are binding. That means when you're hiring a worker and the worker starts doing the job, then that's called a binding contract, even if it's not written down in halacha. Okay. That if I hire a worker and he starts working, then it's binding the words even. But if it's not working for me, words are useless. Absolutely. So coming back to our case. Is there anything here binding? Is he a worker for me? But I say, oh no, you get the 20 meters of me. He's not working for me.
No.
So therefore nothing's biting here. So just words in the air. There's no reason it should be counted. Besides the issue you said, it's not a penalty. He's not losing anything. Besides that, there's nothing here, even if he is losing something, there's nothing here that binds them. It's just words.
It's not a nice thing to do.
Well, he was doing a not nice thing. He was stopping the whole building.
Now, let's
make one minute.
Right, didn't we say you could do something
to?
Right, didn't we say you could do that? If someone is in the wrong, you're allowed to cheat the person in the wrong.
There's no two wrongs
making. But you guys, anyway, someone was stealing or something, and then you were allowed to
stop him stealing. Yes, you're allowed to stop him stealing.
You had to trick the guy.
Now I want you to define me exactly what this agreement of the 20 meters is going on over here. We said it's not buying my extra 20 meters. I mean, say you're not hiring me as a worker either. So what exactly are you doing with this agreement? What do you think this agreement is trying to do? What is it creating? What's the relationship it's creating between the two people that you're trying to do with this agreement?
You're exchanging a voting right for...
You can't be buying voting rights. It's not tangible. So you're not buying something. You're not hiring a worker here. So what are you trying to do? Is there anything halakhically that we can see here that you're trying to do?
I bought your permit of me as your
shliach
to get 20 years.
I'm not even doing it. Somebody else is doing it.
What have you done in the law firm?
Think, what's this person doing? This person is creating problems, and I'm telling him, don't create problems. Give up your potential to create problems, and in exchange of giving up your potential for create problems, I'll give you an extra 20 meters. What? So what's that called?
So they're exchanging rights within the building. I mean, it's really a building exchange. Meaning, it's as a person lives in the building, you have a right to meterage, and you have a right to exercise objections to things, and this sort of switching powers within the building.
It's matzon. It's more close.
Am I rewarding you for doing the right thing?
So let me tell you a gemara. Number four. There is a concept of called an oriv. What is an oriv? A guarantor. What is an oriv doing? What does he do? What's the job of an oriv? What does he do?
He pays up.
What does he say to the guy?
He says,
you go and lend money to him, and if you go and lend money to him, then I'll back him up.
But I never mean it.
If you go and lend money to him, then I'll back him up. That's called oruv. Oruv is something that halachically is chal. He's a guarantor, and it works with words as well. It works
with
words.
Why does it work?
You know why it works? Because he's saying, because of me, you're listening to me. If you listen to me, I'm making money leave your pockets. Take money out of your pockets and give it to him. By listening to me, by taking money out and trusting me, then I'll be your guarantee.
When pockets are alone.
So therefore, I'm causing money to leave your pockets based on me. So therefore, it now binds me, because I caused that money to leave, to actually fulfill payments of that money if it ever comes to it.
What's the nimshu?
So here also, I'm telling you, give up your rights to the potential 40 meters
right.
or anything
no.
else.
Potential 20.
Extra. And by doing that, giving it up, then I will compensate you those 20 meters. So that's like an oriv. You're taking money out of your pocket.
Equal.
You're taking money out of your pocket based on my words, and therefore by doing that, it should bind me to the contract.
It's not the same amount. The future potential, whatever you want to call it, we say it's all said it's unlikely. Let's call it a 5% chance that it'll get the 40 meters. Therefore, the value is 2 meters. 1 meter.
Then
he'll get 40?
If he
objects?
No. If he stops objecting, there's a 100% chance that the area I will say yes.
To 20,
and then
the chance of getting 40 had he objected were very low, and therefore the value of that is, let's call it 1 meter worth of value. Now he's giving a guarantee for 20 meters. That's not an arev is set at the same value.
Absolutely, excellent points, and that's one of the reasons why it doesn't work. But we'll get there in a second. An arev is saying, give $1,000, and I'll pay the $1,000 back, and it binds me by words. Jess, there's one problem with Oruf, and the Gemara asked that question. Every Oruf should be a problem with Smachta.
Exactly, I don't mean it.
Because, I'm promising you that I'm going to compensate you. I mean it. No, I just want you to give him the money, and I think that he's going to pay you back. I have no mind that he's not going to pay you back, and eventually I have to pay you back. Why would I be like that? So the Gemara asked the question. This would be a problem with Smachta. So the Gemara answers. Number four, the last line. El Omer Rav Ashi. Why is it not problem of a smata? Bahu anata kemehemele goma mishtabin nafshe. From the fact that you're willing to take money out of your pocket based on me, that means you totally and utterly trust me to take money out of your pocket. That means me great hana. It shows that I'm a very trustworthy person. So you chose me a very trustworthy person, then I'm not just promising something for free. It means that you're giving me lots of trust in the world, in order, and that gives me a good name, and therefore, based on that, I'm willing to actually pay the debt if it ever comes to it. Because if I don't pay the debt, then I lose the whole benefit. I'm no longer trustworthy. Yeah, that's the sort.
So that's the consideration.
That's the consideration. So there's two reasons why it doesn't apply by us. One is because you just said it has to be equal. I give you like the loan, you give take $1,000 out of your pocket based on my words. It shows you trust me for $1,000. So therefore, I'm willing to commit myself to pay back the $1,000 if the debtor doesn't pay. Fine. But here, you gave up a potential 40 meters.
Yeah. 20 meters.
An extra 20 meters. Yeah. And I say, well, if you give it up, I'm going to give you 20 meters because it shows you trust me. Yeah? But what did you give up? You gave up 20 extra meters? What's the likelihood of you getting the extra 20 meters?
No.
Very unlikely of getting up to 20 meters. So therefore, says the Machne Ephraim, it's not equal. So therefore, it's still a problem with Smachta and it's not valid.
But should you get a percentage in that case? I mean, if we were to calculate in the futures markets, that there's a 5% chance you would have gotten
it. If it's not valid for the deal, it's not valid for anything.
The whole thing was, he never expected to go for 40 meters. He never expected to get it even.
And therefore,
he just wanted to get the 20 meters out of him.
Would it be relevant if he says, I'm going to stop the whole deal if you don't agree to my demand? And let's say that he realistically could not stop the deal anyway. Because it's not a majority, you know, it's not a unanimous vote. Right. It's say 60% have to approve it. So his objections are not really that valid. So all this other guy is doing is just trying to
calming
smooth
down.
Over the mock locus, but really is not worried about him stopping it.
You're right. We don't really need him to it does, because that means that he didn't have any way of stopping getting the 40 meters or stopping me in any case, and then the whole thing is just an emotional thing. Right. But sometimes a person, if he's very committed, can create lots of problems, even if, according to the law, he shouldn't be able to keep the laws. So now let's move on to the next case. We'll maybe start a little bit and you can think about it. So
you said there were two reasons. You said there were two reasons why it didn't work.
The second reason was, is that very important reason.
Sorry, trustworthy.
Where does the Oruv work? That means you take $1,000 out of your pocket, that shows you trust me to take money out of your pocket. But here, you're not taking any money out of your pocket. You're giving up maybe a potential money which may come into your pocket. Mm-hmm. But you're not actually taking money which you have in your pocket already and giving it out.
It's no transaction.
So therefore, it doesn't show enough that I trust you to the level like actually taking money out of my pocket. If I take money out of the pocket, that gives you a great name in the world that I trust you even to take money out of the pocket. But to give up maybe a potential money to come into my pocket, that doesn't show that your trust is on a higher enough level. Maybe that wouldn't work with Chlal to create the whole contract in the first place.
Like if each person had to give money towards the 20 meters, maybe that would be... And it would apply, according to that story.
Or he has to pay, to pay. Pay the money and trust me. Right. Another case came to this, like this. We'll just start the case. We have Yisachar coming and Zvulun are coming to bid on a big property site. Been sold by the government. And the highest bidder wins. The bidding goes, and everyone drops out except for Yisachar and Zvulun.
Is it an auction or a tender?
It's an open bid.
An auction?
Yeah. And it's going higher and higher. So Yisachar comes to Zvulun and says, you know what? It's silly. Very silly. We're pushing up the prices up. We're taking away our profits. Let's make a deal. You back out of the deal. I'll bid. And I'll win because I'm the only one left. And then it will go into my name because according to the rules it can't go into two people's names. And afterwards it's in my name. I'll transfer you for half the value. You pay obviously half the money back within a week. And then I'll transfer it half the property in your name, and together we'll be partners.
But it's a ring. It's called a ring.
We'll be partners. We'll win the bid, and then I'll bring you into the partnership. So he backed out, and he won the bid for $26 million. Okay. Now Zvulun has got now a week to provide $13 million. After 2 days, Yisachar bumps into a goy. Well, a goy actually went searching for him and said to him, I heard you won the bid. You know what? I want to buy it off you. So, Yusuf is always interested to hear business. Says, so how much are you willing to pay? I'll give you $32 million. A profit after 2 days?
$6
million profit, not bad.
$3 million.
Well,
half
the delegate.
So?
No, just wait a minute.
So, he sold the sukkos onto the goy. $32 million. Now the goy's got it. Yisvulun finds out, he says, oh great, you made us $6 million, it's $3 million each. Yeah, wonderful. So Yisrael says, hold on. I bought the property, yes. You never actually got it in your name, no. Okay, so it's mine. The whole profit's mine, $6 million, you're not part of this deal. So yeah, I backed out, so you called me. No. There was nothing in writing, nothing binding, just words. Didn't mean it. That was the scenario which came to pass. So, I'll start with a Mishnah. What do you think before I start with this one Mishnah, and then you can think about it?
Were there any witnesses to the deal?
Until Erev Yom Kippur, you got
to. No,
Was there any witnesses to the deal?
Were there any witnesses? Everyone agrees, embedded into the deal, that's what took place.
That's what took place?
Yes. Everyone, Yitzhak agrees that's what happened.
But there was no expenditure.
Those are the facts, everyone agrees. No argument to what the facts were.
Going to the Arif case, there's no expense here. He didn't spend any money. So it's just a question of lost profits.
So future property interest that he gave up.
Right.
That you may not have ever
gotten.
Did you suffer?
Right. So that they both bid against each other. But when you it's more likely he would be able to get it than
the
case of the property.
Did Yitzhak pay $26 million?
No, because by the time the goys took it, he just used the goys' meal. Yeah. He used the goys' money.
So he actually never bought it.
He didn't have to. He had the ability to.
He turned the property.
He flipped it.
But when he bought the property, he bought it in the Shittit's name. It doesn't matter.
No, he did buy it in Shittit's name. Not that to be the Shittit's
name. No, Rega.
He bought it in his name.
It doesn't matter whose name is on the paper. He bought it with him in mind. Because if he didn't, he was there. He was part of the deal. He was sad, but he wasn't on the name.
So
because
you're saying
he couldn't
he
be
was
on the
a
name.
Silent part.
The silent part.
Of
there,
what's
it?
Required?
Silent
part. What's required? Alaska's what do you need?
If he's my representative, then whatever he does is binding, would automatically bind it to me.
What do I need? Do I need a contract? Do I need consideration to pass hands? What do I need? You want to shake on something, you're partners, venture. And then you go out and spend money.
So it's the same as a worker. Same as a worker.
Words are binding.
Words plus actions are binding. So I'll read you out a Mishnah and you can think about it till Erev Yom Kippur.
I bet the guy was thinking.
Says the Mishnah in Kedushin. Ha'oma lachavero, seh v'kaddish li isha plonis. Somebody says to his friend, you know, go out and marry this girl over there in that town.
Is this here?
Well, yeah, number 8.
Oh, number 8.
Go and marry this girl. For me.
For me, right.
Yeah, go and marry this girl for me.
Where's the words for me? It says for me?
Yes.
Where's the words?
Kaddish Lee. Isha Plonis.
In my name.
Yes. Marry this girl for me. You're my agent to marry this girl for me. V'holof the Kiddush the Atzmo. And he went. And instead, he married the girl for himself instead of the one who sent him.
Right.
Mukadeshis the Shani. She's married to the agent. My shall also I'll say it works. And it should know up though minag ramois. He says a rabbi, but it works. So if you comparable case to us, I caused you as an agent to buy on behalf of me this property. You went and bought the property on behalf of yourself.
No,
so therefore it should be valid that it's only to the agent. But he's a rabbi.
No, she may have said no to the first guy.
The bidding, whoever the highest bid was going to win the property, no matter, it didn't matter who it was, they don't care. Yeah. But by the girl, she
Tom,
may or not like
Tom too. Every girl wants to get married.
Yeah.
not in today's door.
Ask your wife.
You can't have two men.
You can't have two men with one wife. One woman. Where you can have two men with a property.
I happen to be the first time my wife married too.
But the problem is why over here do we say it works for the second one? He's a rabbi.
Because tradition is hard. You can't take it away. Tradition is.
But what do we see from that? That even though I appoint an agent, the agent could just change his mind.
This one was
sleepless
when I went to buy the property. I didn't say buy
it
for me, I said buy
it
for us.
For us, yes. So you're also Shlia. You're buying for yourself and you're buying for me.
For us?
For us, yes. Yes, it's also Shlia's.
But the very whole nasty premise of my not continuing and doing it and stop you is that you're doing this together.
Yes, I'm a rabbi. Like the good Mishnah says. If I'd known that you were going to marry the girl, I would have gone myself.
She may have only liked the second guy.
Tab the Mason Tamdu.
She may have got a better deal. She feels it's up to her. It's in her hands. Whereas with the property,
it goes to the girl who knew who she was married, right?
She knew his mind, but if she would known, the fortune say, even if she says, if I would have known that it was the other guy who wasn't married, I would have married him rather than you, she still married Met to this second guy.
But she can divorce him if she wants.
Yeah.
No.
Marriage is
not Baal Kocha. You have to have consent.
Okay,
so you can think about it. Ksiba Chasima Tova. Have a good adventure. Yeah, Alta Chaim Tova Mashalom.
Oh, wait, Rama is not a good reason for divorce?
Every Yom Kippur. Thank you.